Okay, we left off in the Maamar. The Maamar in the beginning was discussing why Lechem Mishnah. The question was, we know the double bread on we eat on Shabbos. So we say that according to Nigla, both one bread should be on top of the other. According to the esoteric part of the Torah, they should be even, equivalent. What is the reason for that? In order to understand that, we went into a whole discussion Birchas HaMazon. In the brachas of Birchas HaMazon, where we know we have the first two blessings. The first bracha is Al HaMazon, for sustenance. Second blessing is Al Ha'aretz, for the land. And nevertheless, we conclude the second bracha, Al Ha'aretz Li Al HaMazon. And the Gemara explains it means the land that gives forth mazon, sustenance. The question is, I mean, if you kind of thank God for the land, so thank Him for the land. Why emphasize mazon when you're talking about, when the object matter is really, the land? And if you're going to say you want to thank for mazon, then you have a whole separate bracha for that, which Birchas HaMazon, the first bracha. This one was designated for Al Ha'aretz, for the land. So focus on the land. Why the land giving forth mazon? The main theme of and the answer that we learned is that there's two types of mazon. There is mazon that comes from below, and there's mazon that comes from above. There's lechem in the aretz and lechem in hashemayim. Lechem in the aretz is the lechem that we bring from the earth. Lechem in hashemayim simply means lechem in the aretz is earthly bread, lechem in hashemayim is heavenly bread, another month. But in the deeper meaning, lechem in the aretz is the sustenance, because generally we can ask the question, how does a person live off physical bread? After all, a human being is higher than the bread. Why should he eat the bread? And the answer is that the bread and all physical food, their origins are in the world of Tayyum. But after the Shkiras HaKelim, after the collapse of the vessels, they fell very low. And man's job is to rectify those Kelim. How did he do that? Since the human being is in the world of Tikkun. The world of Tikkun is a less potent world. The world of Tikkun is a far less potent world than the world of Tayyum. But nevertheless, the world of Tikkun is a world of harmony, a world of interaction. In the world of Tayyum, as we learned, everything stood in its own discrete state of being. Everything was an island unto itself. They couldn't get along with each other. And that's why the vessel shattered in the world of time. Tikkun is a world of rectification. But Tikkun has the downside of Tikkun is that it's in order to get everything together, the midos cannot be strong and powerful. Because if they're strong and intense, each one, meaning emphasize the nature of every midah, of every attribute, they're in conflict with each other. They clash with each other. In order that they shouldn't clash, they have to be weakened. How are the midos weakened? The midos are weakened by introducing something that is higher than the midos, by introducing the Eirin Shoyes, the infinite light, so that and they pale in significance in when they're standing in front of the infinite light. They lose their sense of self, and if they lose their sense of self, they become weaker. And then they're able to coincide and coexist one with each other. That's the aspect of Tikkun. So what are we saying in Tikkun? The way they get along is by each one being weaker. That's what we call the power of Moichin. The power of Moichin weakens the Midas. Moichin is the Koyach of Ma, the power of Wat, the power of 45, the power of Wat. What is that? That's the power of Chachma as it influences the Midas. And when it comes down to influence the midos, it causes a weakening of the midos, thereby allowing for the midos to connect one with each other. In Tayyum, the midos stood on their own. They were not influenced by the moichin. So they did not have the power of ma, the power of wat, to break them down. So each midos stood in its full intensity. And if it's full intensity, they were in contrast and in at war with each other. They couldn't get along, and that's why they collapsed. So what do you see from the very point over here is that Tikkun is weaker than Tayyum because it has been weakened. The whole way that Tikkun is, there is harmony in Tikkun is because, yes, what's weakening is something very great. What's weakening is the infinite light that is sensed over there. But it's still, their very being of who they are and what they are has been weakened in comparison to the Midas of Tayyum. The Chesed of Tayyum is much stronger than the Chesed of Tikkun. And the Gevurah of Tayyum is much stronger than the Gevurah of Tikkun. Just like we know in our own human beings, in our own experiences, that emotions that are not tempered with intellect are much stronger than intellectual emotions. Intellectual emotions, the intellect curbs them, weakens them. Animal emotions are far more powerful. That's why animals are stronger than people, because they have plain, untamed emotions. And therefore the emotion can grow and expand and gather up, muster up strength and power and erupt like a powerful volcano. Because of all of its power, nothing's stopping it. Like wind blowing in an empty place. We gave the muscle last week. There's no barriers. There's nothing to stop it. It gets stronger and stronger, as opposed to a place where there is constant barriers and walls that keep back and keep on breaking it. The mind keeps on breaking. Okay, and that's the thing in people. So now, all food and all these sparks of Toyo, when they're shattered, fell down into our lowly world, the physical things. And when a human being, and therefore, here's the point, being that the aspect of Toyo was that each sphera was not surrendered to the infinite life, but rather each one was an inyan, they were lacking in bittul. And why were they lacking in bittul? Because they did not have the koyach ma, the power of chachma, dominating there in that realm of Toyo. That's why when they broke, what becomes the main characteristic of these physical things, and what demonstrates their unholy, their negative state of being that these energies of Tayu consist of now after they've fallen, is that everything in this world sees itself as its own god, as I exist not as a spark, as a piece of a puzzle of something much greater than myself, but I am the purpose of my own existence. I don't have to serve something greater, which is that same feeling of Tayu. Tayu is Chesed. It sees itself as the ultimate purpose and goal is just Chesed. If Chesed would realize that it's here to serve a higher purpose, bigger than Chesed, so then it would leave room for Gevura. The fact that it doesn't leave room for Gevura is because Chesed gets so caught up in its being Chesed, in its own style of Chesed, doesn't leave room. So those levels of Tayo before they broke, they were divine emotions. But divine emotions at that became too full of themselves. But after they shatter and they break down, it becomes real klipa. It becomes real unholy, self-centered, egotistical beings. And that's what characterizes this world, is that things don't want to surrender to a higher plan and purpose. But everything wants to exist for its own sake. That's our, yeah, everything is for myself. So now, what is man's superiority? Man comes from tikkun. Man has a sense of purpose because he has a godly soul, a soul that comes from the rules of tikkun, which is ruled by the moichin. The moichin enable man to experience a truth that's bigger than himself and know that life is not about me, but there is a bigger picture, a bigger plan to life than me. And I'm here as essential piece of the puzzle that I have to play a role in the realization of the purpose of this world and helping the world realize its ultimate purpose. So man has that ability to look beyond himself because man comes from tikkun, and that's the power of it. So when man eats the food or dresses in the clothing or takes or lives in a home of substances that are from Tayyar, and nevertheless he utilizes them in a constructive manner where they are serving a greater purpose than themselves. So he takes them out of their selfish tayu state, integrates them into the world of tikkun, and then he brings them, then he constructs new vessels. Vessels of tayu that have the humility and the bittul. And then they're able to Then what happens is they're elevated, but not only they're elevated, but now they capture back their original light of Tayu, that original powerful light of Tayu that originally could not be in the Kalim, because the Kalim were clashing with each other. But now that they're repaired, the vessels, meaning they have this which man has given them, that humility of Tikkun, so now they can reunite with the Oiros of Tayu. As we learned last week, not only the Iris of Tayu, but the Iris of Tayu as they were reabsorbed and higher. So there are not Ochazer. No, once we bring back the Nitzutzim, the sparks of Tayu, back to they are, they recapture again that light that has initially been in them. But now those original lights of Tayu are in a higher state than they were before. Why am I in a higher state? Because they were reabsorbed in their source. Tayu in general is higher than Tikkun, because it's raw emotions, far more powerful than the weakened emotions of Tikkun. But now they're even greater because they were reabsorbed in their source. When a thing is reabsorbed in its source, it gets recharged, gets stronger, far more intense. So the Oiris of Tayu. Yeah, it's Tayu, and then Tikkun, and then the shards, the pieces of Tayu. When we pick up the pieces of Tayu and reconstruct them, we make them into a vessel now to bring back the lights of Tayu. And the lights of Tayu, as they were recharged, much higher than they were before. And thereby, the whole world of Tikkun is now enhanced, illuminated, advanced, and invigorated with a far greater power, because now the Tikkun world receives the benefit of the intensity of it's like being able to, as we spoke last week, it's like being able to capture your teenage energy in your maturity of life when you become older and you're living more of a constructive life, a life of structure, a life guided by the mind, without losing the enthusiasm. See, as we spoke last week, teenagers have an advantage that they're full of robust energy, but that energy usually comes in breaking all normalcies, in breaking all borders and boundaries, in living a wild, chaotic life. And that's where the energy is there. The problem with the teenagers is if it can only be channeled in the right way. It's usually the energy is strong because it's not channeled, because it's plain, wild, rebellious emotions that are lacking the mind. When one grows older and the mind begins to play a role, what happens naturally is the mind breaks, you lose the chayas, you lose the intensity.
You have channels, but
you don't have chayas anymore. You're already old, you lose it, you lose that fire, that zeal, that zest, the power that you're going to change the whole world, and you become cynical. And you become, everything is, you lose that vision, that ambition that you have in a child. The kunst is to be able to bring that ambitious energy and potent energies of the younger years into the maturity of the elder, of your constructive life of the powers of people. That's what we do every time we eat. And we eat constructively, the way we're supposed to. We raise the chayif up, we bring down the source of playing of it. That's called lechem in arech, earth. A breath from the earth. Because why is it breath from the earth? Because it comes, earth represents the world of shame. It's called shame. Earth means the what we call shame ban. What shame ban? What shame ban? Shame ban is the source of is a light, it is energy of Tayu. And the sparks are stem from this, these sparks that are hidden in the food. In physical foods, they stem from this world of pain. And we eat that bread, we invigorate our souls, our godly soul, and we even say we invigorate the whole world of tikkun. The esser spheres of Atzilus rise up higher through our eating, if we eat the right way. Because we through our tikkun experience, engaging in tayu things, in tayu objects, and elevating them back to the source, bringing back the light. That's what we saw. But we learned. That is what Oiris to Tayu, as it applies to what, to the world of Tikkun. I'm sorry. Up till now, this process of Lechem in the Oiris is what we call a process that's called Sarusa de la Tata, brings the Sarusa de la Yeda. This is a process where the potent and intense divine energies are drawn down to man through man's toil and effort to elevate this alienated, godless world to be reconnected to Hashem. When man toils and exerts himself to reach into these Tayu objects and reconstruct them, by pulling them out, by wrenching them free from what? From their selfishness. And bringing Bittul into them. And that's a tremendous avodah. because man has to be, man has to rise beyond his own ego. Man also has a toyu element to him. Their ego, the nefesh abahamis. Man has to access his own soul, tap into his own soul, and through his neshama, he has to relate to the physical object of this world, thereby elevating himself and elevating the whole world with it. That's an intense avodah for man to do that. When man does that, in reciprocation to man, he draws down the lights of Tayu to come to him. That's called the avodah of a sarusa de latata, our working from below, which brings a reciprocal flow from above. But then there is something called lechem min hashamayim, where man is sustained not by his toil and his effort, like earthly bread. Earthly bread, how do we get earthly bread? We have to toil and effort. And God sends the rain, and it grows. But it comes, it can only grow if man first plows the field and plants and sows the field. Man has to first do his work, and then Hashem will assist from above by sending the rain and having everything grow. So there is a heart, there is an interaction between man and God. Both of them, there is a relationship of it being done together. However, lechem min hashamayim means, bread from heaven means, meaning that there is a certain sustenance which God sends down from above, not dependent on man's toil. What is that? Anything we learned last night in the Tanya class, anything coming from above, not depending man's toil, comes from a higher place. Because God is giving on a godly scale. He's not in reciprocation to us. And usually, what does God have to give to us? Really, Hashem wants us to work for everything. Why are there sometimes things that He gives us as a gift without our work? It's because these are things that are so high. These are things that are so deep, 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 within the deepest places within divinity and in the godly realm, that man cannot reach this. Man cannot stir this. Man cannot access this. These deep lights, these very, very high levels of spirituality and godliness. This, the only way we can have it is God gives it to us, based on His own, by His own initiative, on His own volition. Not based on our work and our toil and our efforts. That's called man. Man came completely from above. We didn't do anything to it. We sat in our homes, we walked out every morning, and the food was there. The man was there. What does it mean, in the words of Kabbalistically, there is an Indian of Muhammad al-Khsufa. Yes, but there's no choice for this. There's no choice. This must come from above. This cannot be given to us based on our work, and we cannot reach it. So, what does this mean, Kabbalistically, what does that mean? Man's toil involves bringing bittul. Bittul refers to the realm of moichin, of using man's main toil is to everything in his life bring in his moichin, bring his intellect and influence the midas. When he does that, what does he connect to above? Also to the realm of moichin as it influences midas. That's what we call the power of ma. The power of ma, the power of 45, but the power of 45 as it comes to make peace amongst the as it flows through the midas of tikkun, to bring peace and harmony amongst the attributes. However, the etzem shem ma, the shem ma in its origins, is, which means intellect, the words that the Alphabet used before, intellect for the sake of intellect itself. Moichin itself, not as moichin lowers itself to influence midas, that is beyond our ability to access. It's pure moichin. Koyach ma, the power of ma onto its own. The power of absolute, the nullification of intellect in it by itself, not as it comes to influence the emotions. As it comes to influence emotions, it's already a lower vital. But pure, pure, pristine. See, I think it means, in practical sense, it means that a human being, after all, is still an emotional person. So even when he uses his mind, it's his mind as it influences the midas. But pure intelligence, pure objectivity, which means the purest of the purest bittul, where it's not about me whatsoever. I don't have any personal axe to grind. Pure, pure, that man, that's beyond man's capacity. Man's avodah. So how do we access this? This is man. Man comes from that level of ma itself, connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was that level. Moichin as they are onto themselves, not as they influence the needs. That's the level of Moshe. Moshe was ma. Vanachnu ma, and what are we? Ma itself. Then what is ma? Ma is the power of nullification. Ma is the power of self-suspension. But there is self-suspension as it influences a being with an ego, so that the ego becomes less, becomes a little egoless, but it's still within the realm of ego to some degree. But pure, pure, real, real egolessness, where there's no ego whatsoever, that was the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, v'nachnu man. And that we cannot relate to. Man came from that place. That's what we also learned, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Moshe couldn't even give us the Torah. Because what if the Torah, Moshe felt that I can't go, he said, Kvad Pem, Kvad Lashon. I have a difficulty in my mouth, I can't speak, can't give the Torah. Why? Because the Torah is what? Torah is divine intellect as it influences divine emotions. Because what is the Torah? Most of the Torah. Most of the Torah is kasher mutter, kasher aser pasul, aser mutter, kasher and treif, what's tahar and tameh and things like that. It comes to differentiate between what? That which is appealing to God's emotions, and that which is rejected by Hashem's emotions. So the whole realm of Torah is the midos of Hashem.
Could be crossed by kosher and mutter.
Also, yeah.
And it corresponds to midos.
It's all, that's midos, because midos is all about.
Okay, like kosher is chesed.
Kosher is chesed, and asur is gevura. That's right. Yeah. So these are all, is all relating to the emotions. Now Moshe Rabbeinu was from a level of intellect beyond the emotions. A pure divine intellect higher than the emotions. That's why Moshe couldn't bring down godliness to the role of. And Hashem said, your level cannot come down in any way, but how about Hashem respond to Moshe? We learned on the last on Thursday. Hashem responded to Moshe, Anoichi Eyantiham. In order for an able the level of Moshe to be transmitted, that has to come from a level that transcends it both. The level of Anoichi, the level that is so high that it has no limitations whatsoever, and it can bring Moshe down to the people. It can bring Man. It can bring even man down. It can bring even man down. Anoichi, I will be with your mouth. Representing a level that is so sublime and so that is so high and beyond that has the ability to take something that is meichin be'etem, intellect, essential intelligence that has absolutely no shaychus to me this whatsoever, and bring it in where. Bring it down to us. But we need the power of a life. Meaning to say that this is something that can only be given as a gift from above. This is not something that Hashem says, like, Torah must be given. I am going to enable you. You can't. But I am going to bring your level that is so sublime down here. How does the level, this is one more point that we have to learn before we can start learning inside, and today, what we're going to continue today, is how does a level as sublime of, what is this level of mind? In relationship to what we spoke before, Tayu and Tikkun. Tikkun is already a world where there's harmony, where everything gets along with each other. Tayu is where everything is, all the midas are in their own independent state of being. How does the level of Ma be'etzen? And what did we learn is the level of Tikkun? Tikkun is Ma, the power of 45, that's the energy of the world of Tikkun, as it brings Bittul to the midas. The midas that are really subjective, they become objective midas. They become weakened, and they harmonize. How do they become harmonized? To the power of, we say before, the power of Ma. Well, what is this? Tikkun is not the power of Ma. Tikkun is the power of Behema. Each one onto its own. What is Meishim Be'etzim in the scheme of Tayu and Tikkun? Where do they fit in? Seems like, we spoke about Tayu. We spoke about bringing harmony amongst the midas. What is this power of Meishim Be'etzim? What's its source? In the concept of Tayu and Tikkun. So we learned that the real source of Ma Be'etzem is from a place even higher than Tayu. And what is that? It's where all the Midas, all the Esser spheres, stand on a level called Akudim. Akudim, while they're all bound up in one Kali. What does it mean, all the spheres are all bound up in one Kali? In Tikkun we said, each Mida is what? Is separate, but they're integrated one with each other. In Tayu we said each mida is discrete, exclusive, mutually exclusive. That's the world of Tayu. What is the world of Tikkun? The world of Ma, Shem Ma Be'etzem, which is really the source of the Tikkun world. So what we really, if we have a board over here, we would be able to make it sort of like this. We begin with the world of Ma Be'etzem. Then we, from there, we come down to the world of Tayu. And then we get down to Ma influencing the Midas. So when we experience the Ma, we're not connecting to Ma in its essential state. We're collecting already to Ma as the Ma is extended in an expansive way to influence something else, but not its Ma in its essential state. But what is the Ma in its essential state? Why is Ma a world of unity? Is because over here we're dealing with all the 10 attributes as they are totally united in one, not by weakening them, but they're united and one because they're all completely, essentially, inherently one. They're not being a one, they're not becoming one by a superimposed force, but their harmony and their unity is an intrinsic, inherent harmony and unity. What does that mean? We can look at the emotions and wonder, how can two opposite emotions get along? How can kindness and a feeling of kindness and a feeling of discipline go together? They're two opposites. Kindness is an openness, and a discipline is a rigidness, a closeness. They're opposites by their very nature. How can they get along? So we spoke earlier. The way they can get along is if they don't sense each other, if they're not so self-aware of each other, I mean, if they're not so self-conscious, if they're not so aware of their own being, they can surrender to the opposite. So what does it mean? The way they get along is by not being themselves. Each one saying, you know what, it's true that I'm Wat, that I'm Chesed, but you know what, Chesed is not the main thing. There's something bigger than Chesed that I have to submit to. It's like many people that are Wat, each one has their own opinions and their own ideas. We spoke before, the ministers of the king. Each one has his own plan, his own outlook on life, of where the country has to go. And they're both valid, but each one is in their own, you know, mode of thinking. And they don't get along with each other. But when they realize that, wow, that they're here to serve a king that is beyond them, so they surrender to that king. They know that, you know, his will is bigger than that. And what he wants that they should get, that they should work together. So each one is going to have to, wow, compromise. See, the power of tikkun getting along is because they all compromise. How do they compromise? What makes them compromise? They themselves don't want to compromise. What makes them compromise is a power bigger than them that weakens them, and that's why they're able to come to a compromise. Here we're dealing with a different type of unity. Each one is in its full potency and its full power. And at the same time, they're in absolute unity. What is that? That's the world of Akudim. What is the world of Akudim? We spoke last week. We can look at these emotions and see them as thoughts. Emotions are, we can look at chesed and see chesed as chesed. We can look at gevura and see gevura as gevura. But then we can realize that, wow, chesed is not chesed and gevura is not chesed. There is a human being. There is a person. And the person has to be a perfect person. A human being, God created a human being to be perfect. As part of the perfection of the human being, man has to entail within himself various different emotions. And what type of emotions should a perfect human being have? Weak emotions, nebachtigi emotions, or powerful, potent emotions? What type of emotions should a perfect human being have? Powerful emotions, full-fledged emotions. But why should there be chesed? Because chesed is something. Because chesed is chesed? No. Because the human being, as a human being, has to have every inyan. Because that's what makes the human being perfect. So the same thing that calls for powerful chesed calls for powerful gevura. When the chesed realizes that what? That chesed is not about chesed, but about a human being expressing himself in chesed. But it's not because chesed of chesed by itself, but rather because of what it serves, the perfection of the human being. The very same perfection of the human being in chesed requires gevura too. So you can have at the very same moment powerful chesed and powerful gevura, and they're not even a contradiction. Because these are two tenuas, two two movements of the human being, both of them serving equally man's purpose or man's what? Man's perfection. Yeah, but it's serving the goal is more like they already sense themselves and they're submitting. They initially don't feel themselves as chesed being chesed and gevura being gevura. Each one, they experience themselves as an extension of the Ein Sof.
It's like enhanced in comparison to what?
What?
Enhanced comparison to
the... Why?
Enhanced, separate, but
because the hands know that what there is, that a hand is not a hand. They know there is a human being, and as the perfection of a human being, it needs hands and feet. So it's not that I have a hand. It's not that the initial there is a hand and there is a foot. No, it's saying that you can use the muscle of limbs for that. You could maybe, in a sense, use that muscle of limbs because you can have that aspect in the limbs too, where they don't see themselves yet. This is sort of what we're really touching upon at the very, very, very initial stages of the emotions coming out. When they're beginning, they're first starting to be born out of the emotionless greater human being that's beyond these feelings. At those first stages, they're not yet aware of themselves as being who they are. They're very potent then, because they're in their fullest potency, because they're coming from the human being as he is in his full power beyond even these emotions. They're stemming now, they're coming from their source. They're beginning to go, but what's the thing? The thing about them now is that they're not yet knowledgeable or not knowledgeable, they're not yet caught up with themselves as being something. They're nothing other than the expression of the human being beyond them. They still have a sense of the colorlessness that precedes their particular color. No, fearing the parents is something else.
No.
Fearing the parents is there's something bigger than them that's blocking him. It is not, this is who he is. His very being is what? Is an emotion to express the bearer of the emotion, not the emotion. The bearer of the emotion, that's the thing. The bearer of the emotion needs the emotion. Not that that I am. I am as part of the perfection of a wholesome human being. A wholesome human being needs chesed and gevura. So the very thing, tenua, that's what the world of Akudim called it, they're all echad and keli echad. One keli, all of that. Because they're all the same experience. It's need chesed, it's chesed. Need gevura, it's gevura. So you need both, it's both.
This is
Merkava. This is, okay, this is deeper than Merkava. This is the world of Akudim. Merkava is why those are all level layer. These are in creations. This is in the Esser Spheres, as they are beyond Atzilus. Because even in Atzilus, they're way lower than this already. In Atzilus, the emotions have developed to be very, very much an emotion. This is a feeling of kindness. This is a feeling of gevura. They submit to a superimposed power, weakening them. Here the emotions are in their full intensity, and nevertheless they get alone. Now, interesting enough, the mun comes from that place. That's what we're saying. The mun comes from the place of Esher Spheres. See, the food of lechem in the aretz, the food, bread from below, stems from where? From where the emotions lose sight of their initial source. Where chesed becomes a power of chesed. Not a power of God who can have chesed. It's yes, divine chesed, but still chesed. Chesed sort of becomes knowledgeable of itself as an entity. Becomes, and that's, as he said over there, they can't stand each other, because each one becomes what? Becomes separate onto its own, and they broke, and the sparks fall down. But we're talking about prior to the Shvira, on levels much greater than the level of the Shvira, where, before they break, where there's no problem with them getting along, not because man influences them with the power of Tikkun. They don't need to be influenced by any outside thing. They themselves, within themselves, don't stand in contrast to each other. Because even though I am fully chesed and you're fully gvura, but I'm not me and you're not you, we're both expressions of the Ein Sof. That's the point. And therefore, they can totally interact with each other. The way it's going to be when Mashiach comes, we're all going to be united and one, because you realize we're all expressions of God. So then the reason I'm me and you're you is the only because Hashem wants to express myself here like this and there like this without any self feeling. So there's perfect unity. We're totally one, even though we can be totally different. This is really where the Rebbe speaks a lot about achdus. It's a very deep for a Jew to be able to have. Here's the Baruch one. I'm offensive. This Indian. Every Jew is an expression of the simple Jewish soul. There's one Jewish entity. There's one Jewish essence. Now that Jewish essence has to have every beauty possible. Every individual Jew brings out the different nuance of what of that beautiful Jewish soul. So there's three ways in Jewish unity. Let's use Taket Achdus Yisrael for an example. There's three ways of unity, or rather two ways for our discussion over here. The emphasis is there's three ways, right? And there's one way of fighting. So we'll discuss four ways.
One way of fighting.
Fighting. I'm not getting along. There's four ways, four levels we can see. One way is a Tayu world. What's a Tayu world? We're all at odds with each other. I mean, everybody sees himself as the ultimate Jew, as the purpose. You know, this is the way God should needs to be served, the way I see it, and this is what's important in life. Everybody has their own. Talking about in religious life, everybody's got their thing of like, this is what ought to be, and the other things are not important. My derech, or my way, and my thing. Whatever it is, yeah, and this brings all kinds. It's a Tayu world. Okay, each one is in their own. Okay, now higher than that, and then in that stage of chaos, we can influence it by tikkun. What is tikkun? We realize that yes, it's true, we're different. I have my style, but and I feel that my way is the most important way, and your way. But what? After all, God created us all. Since Hashem created us all, what? We share one destiny. And in order for that destiny to be realized, each of us has to contribute what? His particular contribution. Now my contribution is my contribution. Your contribution is your contribution. We're two distinct human beings. But the only one we will reach our goals if we all unite together. So how are we reaching our goals? We all compromise. We're compromising. I'm gonna give up on what I think is right and I'm gonna allow you to be yourself so that we can together work together on achieving a goal. So we're all giving up. I mean, and that, if I'm not experienced, I can't be fully me and you can't be fully you. We all have to give up a little bit so that we can all work together for one common goal. But then there is, wow, that's the world of tikkun. But really, what is the source of tikkun? The source of tikkun is a much deeper unity. We realize that, wow, that the fact that I'm me and the fact that you're you, it's not merely two different souls, two different, really one neshama. And that's one neshama, because of its perfection, it has to have the ability to be, to have this beauty and that. And therefore, you being you, in your fullest, that is me. That is me, even though I'm totally opposite than you. Because me being opposite and me being who I am, is bringing out the same thing that you are being you is bringing out.
Just understanding it has been defined to be a compromise and no offending.
But here there's no compromise. Here we're not talking about compromise. Here each one is going to be fully themselves in what they're doing, but they have absolutely no conflict with each other being the other way, because I, more than that, I'm telling you, be all you are in your way, and I'm going to be all I am, are we? And I see myself in you, and you see yourself in me. Because more than that, if you're not being you, then you're not being true to our essence. our essence calls for everybody's individuality to be fullest realized, but it's all our essence. And really, we can flip modes. You can be you and I can be me. Because in essence, what do I mean flip mode? And, you know, because I have absolutely no ego involved in this, because my ego is, it's all the same ego. There is one essential Jewish soul, that has to have all these ways of serving. And if you're going to compromise for me and I'm going to compromise for you, so I'm not going to be me and you're not going to be you, so we're both not going to be that super I that we should both be. We should all be that beautiful soul that has everything to the fullest extreme. And here we don't sense any conflict at all. It's a very, very able of art. A very, very, very fine akuda. But that's the... The very differences themselves are coming from our pure soul that has the abilities. And more than that, when you're being you, it's not you being you. It's all of us together. All of us together. You're the emissary. We can look at it this way. You're the emissary of being that type of Jew in the name of all of us. And I'm the emissary of being that type of Jew in the name of every Yid. And all Jews are expressing themselves in your Avodah. And at the very same time, I can be doing the total opposite Avodah. And all Jews, including you, are also expressing yourself. Because the Jewish soul has to be perfect. And how is it perfect? By serving God in every way. A person can be serving God with ultimate discipline and fighting the wicked, fighting the Rishayim, and zealousness in a way that, according to Torah, that's right. You can have the most compassionate, kindest, outreach type of guy. And they're both realizing, bringing out something about the divine truth, or about the truth of the Jewish soul. And they see no, and they love each other. How do they love each other? Because it's not just we're working on this, we're one. It's that one soul expressing itself in the various things of it. That's the idea of ultimate achdus. And in this we say that when a Jew does a particular mitzvah, when a Jew does, of course it doesn't exist, but this is potentially where our achdus should reach. And it says that when we do a mitzvah, we should feel that all Jews are doing this mitzvah through me. And then, but here again, we don't want to weaken. We don't want to compromise. We don't want to weaken everybody's avodah, because if you weaken it, then it's not perfect anymore. The perfect is that all colors should be sharp. Red should be fully red. Black should be fully black. It should express every color. Blue and the opposite color should be fully expressed. But it's not a contradiction, because it's all one simple soul being expressed in its perfection to be able to contain opposites. The problem is, when the blue stops seeing its connection to that simple soul that's beyond all the colors, and it starts seeing itself in its own narrow world as this is it, it gets an eye onto its own. It doesn't see itself as part of that wholesome thing. Then you're in conflict with me. What do you mean you're green and I'm blue? How is this opposites? Or you're black and I'm white. If you're black and I'm white, we're an opposite. But if the blackness of you and the whiteness of me are what? Are intrinsically the same power that enables, that's bringing out this aspect and that aspect. So why can't you be black and I be me at the same time? What's the problem? It's not you and it's not me. It's all one. It's one essence. That's the power of the man. That's why the man had all tastes. See what? Because it came from that place where, and it's, and here's the thing. We're not dealing, now there's a higher achdus, which is really maybe even a lower achdus, but there is a level of achdus where we say, we don't look at our differences. We really are all united because we really have one neshama, and our essence has no colors. Because the fact that I am with my particular character and my personality and my way of serving Hashem, and you have your way of serving Hashem, that's only our external shama. But deep inside, we have a nekuda hamishutefes. We have a common denominator. That's a Jew, and that nekuda of Jewishness is colorlessness. It has no color, and therefore we're all united. That is, but the point over there is there, we're really reaching the Nekuda Atzmus. The Nekuda Atzmus, the truth is beyond color. That's like going beyond this level. Because on this level, we're already dealing with colors. But it's not seeing how the Etzem is being expressed in all these various colors. Here we're going to a place which is easier to know. It's easier to relate to because it's a colorless state. All colors or originate here, but this is still a place beyond color. So when we're talking, let's say, about the mind, if the mind would be representing the simple state that's beyond all colors, then the mind shouldn't have any taste. It should be just a simple thing. It should be colorlessness and no taste, and all Jews share the same thing. And we all take our vitality, and we would be eating the man, and through the man we could do all, each one serves Hashem in his own way, showing that, wow, that our nourishment, our inner essence is pure beyond colors. But we're saying man had every taste. What does that mean? It was that same man, but in that same man, this guy can taste a hot pepper, and the other one can taste the sweet nectarine. Two opposite tastes, which have absolutely no... Why? Because it's that Etzem that is coming in and it's against all colors. That is, what we're saying now, is the power of Ma. Now this level is the power. This is where the power of Ma comes from. How can Ma bring... Now let's understand, the emotions take a journey. They begin in the sense. But then once they're projected outward, they become Toyu emotions. And then in order to make peace in them, you have to introduce Tikkun. Tikkun is by doing what? Superimposing. Saying, I'm me, you're you, but we have, there's a higher cause. There's something more important than me and you, and we have to put our differences aside, and let's compromise. Let's get together. But where does that ability to compromise come from? It comes from the really, in essence, they're intrinsically one. The superimposed unity that we accomplish in Tikkun really comes from the inherent unity from the world of Akudim. So really the world of Akudim and the world of Tikkun are connected. It's only that being that in the world of Tikkun we have to accomplish unity in a level where we are already separate. Put it this way, if we're going to come into a shul where everybody is, and there's hundreds of different opinions, and you're going to start preaching Olam Akudim Achdus, and we're really the same very soul, and it has to be this, you're not going to get anywhere. The only way in a world where people feel themselves already discrete, distinct, separate, and at odds with each other, to bring harmony over here, you have to say like this. It's true, I'm me and you're and all this, but there's a goal, there's a purpose that we have to surrender to. We have to give up. That's the access you can bring on a lower state than a state that's already disconnected from that original state. That's the access. But where does it really come from? It's from this essential ma in its root, ma be'etzem. But that level of a makos is so lofty, so beyond, we can't reach it. And that's why that has to be given to us. That's why lechem and hashamayim, man comes as a gift. It's given from above. Lechem and aretz comes from above. Based on all that, we're starting in page Samach Vav, the third paragraph. Hine im kol ze yuvan masha amar ezal. Based on all this, we'll understand. Oh, maybe there was two of them given out. It's not the last page. Yeah, no, he has the other one over here. He may behold in kol ze yuvon. With all this, we'll understand. Masha amar ezal. This that the sages say. Birchas azan tikin Moshe was the one who instituted tikin azan. Why? Birchas azan. We said the first bracha of birchas hamazon relates to what? The mother. Ki birchas azan nemar hakol b'lashon nistar. Birchas azan. It's all speaking b'lashon nistar. Third person. Hazana sa'olam kulay. He sustains the whole world. He. We don't say you sustain the whole world. He, Hazan Hazan Kulay B'tavoy, B'tuvay, with his goodness, B'chastay, with his kindness. And it's the third person when the third person isn't here. Like you're speaking about him when we can't see him. I'm speaking to you about someone else. Hazan Hazan Kulay B'tavoy, Who knows saying he gives bread l'chol basa p'yavcha? Why are we speaking b'lashon nistar? Because we're talking about a level that is not available. It's very concealed, very high level of malchus. And ki who knows on lechem l'chol basa? Why? Behind him, ki Moshe who p'chena shema. That's the level of Moshe. Moshe is a level of nistar. Moshe is a level that is inaccessible to us. Beyond, way, way up there, like man. K'moshu be'etzem, it's the name ma as it is in etzem. She'eina b'pchines gilui va'aris ha'moichem b'midas. It's not that aspect of ma that influences the midas. Rak b'pchines ha'bitl. It's only in the level of bitl, meaning it's bringing surrender to the midas. It's not this quintessential unity of the midas, like we spoke, that akudim state. It's a state of midas, each one separate. That's what we live. We live in a world of discreteness. And in our world, the most we can achieve on our own is to introduce our mind to bring bittul in a place of fragmentation. To unite the fragments by superimposing upon them a higher reality they should surrender to. But to access this deep bittul of Moshe, that we can't. L'chein nema haka lasha nistar, it's all here. Because it's a level so lofty that we can't see. It's beyond us. But nevertheless, it's given to us. It's given to us as a gift. So we're saying, who knows it? He bestows that influence on us. But it wants to show on the origins of that place. It's something that we can't access directly. However, the second blessing would be Chas Aret, Nema Lashon Noichach. It says Lashon Noichach direct. Noide Lecha. Suddenly, if a person reads the benching, doesn't it seem to like, it seems a little clumsy. You're beginning to speak about, he gives bread, and suddenly, you begin the next one, we praise you, we thank you, as if God just walked into the room. Where was he talking about? And why do you think about him? He just walked in now, that now you start addressing him? Noid al-Kha, it should have continued. Noid al-Loy, let us praise him. Why Noid al-Kha? To you, the answer is, God is the same. It's not that your God walked in. Just now you're addressing the godliness that you can say l'cha to, that you can relate to. Before you were addressing a far higher level of l'chus, that you had to speak about it because you couldn't talk directly to it. But here, you're now focusing your attention on a much lower level of godliness, because this is lechem min ha'aretz. This is a godliness that we achieve through our tikkun, rectification of the world, through applying our mind and doing the ma that shaykh to the midas, bringing tikkun to a un-tikkun diga world, to a non-rectified world, elevating it. That's what we can say, noida lecha. Da'ayinu, meshe birchas ha'aretz ka lechem min ha'aretz. Birchas ha'aretz refers to lechem min ha'aretz. Da'ayinu lechem sh'ayidei birudei manu mad. Lechem that comes through the refinement of man. Man is mayin nukvin, feminine waters, umad, and masculine waters. Masculine waters are feminine waters means. Feminine waters means our toil of effort to rise to God, because we're like the female. And we're rising up towards Him. Masculine waters are in reciprocation to the feminine's rising towards the man, so then the man responds. So here it's with a flow. And the point over here is, through the beard of man down here, through his toil, of trying to find unity in a fragmented world, in a world full of discord and separation. So man comes and tries to bring it all together into the service of Hashem. So man elevates, that's called elevating the sparks of Tayyu. That's called man, mayim nukvin, bringing up the waters from below. Hashem responds from above, shuhakul b'chinas mamalik alaman, but this is all on the scale of mamalik. Mamalik alaman are that which fills the world. Uvechei ne'mar, no one second, the birchas ha'aretz, and therefore it says the birchas ha'aretz v'alhakul anu moidim lach. That's why, it's interesting. What is most of what's emphasized in the bracha of noida lecha? Hoidah. The bracha of Noida Lecha, which is bracha Sala Aretz, is mainly about Hoida. We begin with Noida Lecha Hashem Alekeinu. Then we continue, Ba'al HaKoel, Hashem Alekeinu, Anachnu Moidim Lach. Most of the bracha permeates with a sense of Hoida. What is Hoida? The Rebbe is doing amazing things. Being that Noida Lecha and Ba'al HaKoel, and that piece, the second bracha, is all about man's toil and effort to sublimate this lowly world, and to bring to bring this world to a state of what? To a state of unity with Hashem. How do you bring the world from a state of unit, from a state of non-unity to a state of unity? You have to make the world conform to Hashem. You have to bring Bittul. And Bittul, and that's what we said, the power of Tikkun is the man has a vision of surrender to something higher than himself. The world, the animal doesn't. The animal is full of himself. Man has that ability to surrender to a higher purpose in life. So man has to bring Bittul to a Bittulless world. Okay? So how does that happen? How does man do that? That's all the power of Noida. Noida means I surrender to you, Hashem. I see it my way. I see that my ego is a very, very, very important being. It should never be offended. It should be treated with gloves. It should be treated in a very, very respectful manner, because my ego is very, 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 very special and important to me. And I really should pamper myself and give myself every delightful experience, because why not? I am me, and I'm very real, and I'm very, 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 and I'm an absolute being. But now I realize, you know what, maybe that's not so true. Maybe God, you're absolute, and I'm only temporary. Maybe you're real, and I'm just fake. And therefore, you're number one, and I'm only maybe number two. And therefore, I should surrender to you. That's called Noida. Noida means, I see it my way, you see it your way, God, but you know what, you're right. That's a struggle, you're right. And that, because we're living in a world that is in conflict. That's what the Rebbe says. The Rebbe is not going to say there's a conflict. And the way we bring healing to this world is by surrendering. So that's why it's all about Noida. To bring the world to a state, from a state of each being is wow. And again, and the man has to influence the world, the substance of the world, with that stickle. Bringing Hazar to everything. So being that this is the direct result of the food that you eat, the nourishment that comes from below. What is the nourishment that comes? How does nourishment work? By elevating the energies of Tayu. How do you elevate that? You bring them to a state of nullification. So you do the Noida. You do the Noida thing, as you say. You bring the Haidah to a world, to this world, as it ever says. And therefore, we just put the Chayna Birz Arval Hakal on Moidim Lach. Lash and Haidah. Ki Inyan Haidahu Al Berach Moidim Chachamim Murameya. What does the word Moidim mean? Moidim means, I acknowledge, I agree, I surrender. The Hainu Beza Chokim. When two people are arguing, Zem Zem, one with the other, Kisha Echad Mevatel Dai Tei Neged Chaveroi. And one says, you know what, you're probably right. And Mahida means more than that. Mahida means, not when I understand that you're right. Mahida means when I know that, let's say if I'm arguing with an architect about the dimensions of a house or how. So what do I say? It's not that I really understand. I really think it should be, but you know what, you're probably right. You know more than me in this area. I'm arguing about a mechanic, about a car. I say, you know what, you probably know better. That's what Haidah means. It's not that I really. If I really experience, I don't have to acknowledge, and I would say so in the first place. If I'm right, the point is I acknowledge. Moidah. So, if a Moidah, the same as Neged Chaveri, Nikra Pchines Haidah. Kshe'echem Nevatel Dati Neged Chaveri, that's called Haidah. If a Moidah, the same as also, we say Moidah Manachnu Lach. We acknowledge you. But then we have to understand what kind of fight do we have, that we have to admit to God. Seems like we have an argument. And the Rebbe's going to explain there is a major argument. This is the way God sees it. How does God see the world? That the world is really just an expression of Him, and therefore everything in this world should be serving Him. How do we see it? That, wow, I am somebody, a master of my own destiny, and I have my own life, and I have my own selfish self to take care of. And now, what? As a Jew, we constantly surrender Him. Right? There's two deis. God encompasses two deis. Yes, das, there is a das from a map of a mile. The way things are seen from looking down, from below, we look upwards. So even a person who does acknowledge Hashem, we're talking about a believer, someone who believes in God, but nevertheless, Hashem is not very real. He's abstract. He's a concept. What's reality? Reality is me, that's right. So, Shagashmi is who I yes. We, from our perspective, the Gashmi is a something. The Haruchni is a spirituality. Who I am. It's not. What do you mean it's not? Not that it doesn't exist. It's not substantiated. It's not substantial stuff. Why can't I Musa? Because it's not comprehended. From above below, how do they look at it from up, from way up there? How does it seem? The opposite. Who the heck? Shaharuchnius wa yeshamiti. Spirituality is true beingness. He sees that he is the reality, because he sees his energy in everything. He sees the way if he takes his life out of something, it will turn into absolute nothingness in 1 second. What? That's right. If he could take it away, we would still be, right? No, but it's not. It's not true. If Hashem takes away, he realizes that what happened, he sees it. He sees it so crystal clear, how we have absolutely no existence whatsoever. And this is such a foolish illusion that we're able to think of ourselves that we exist for a moment, not to serve Him, because it's a lie. We don't have an existence. So therefore, he sees it that way. That ultimate Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to give to those who He loves, Yesh, true beingness, being His existence, He's going to share with us. What does it imply that He is the real Yesh? He is the real something. And we only exist circumstantially because He's been pumping existence into us. But not because we have any inherent truth to our existence. The Hagashmi is bottle ayin betachlis, and the Hagashmi is bottle completely to the nothingness that's creating it, to what we call nothingness that's creating us. Now, if we live when we live in a mamakal amayla, if we're living from our perspective, then what? Then we should take care of ourselves the whole day and be totally consumed with our physical pursuits and delights, because why not? But if we acknowledge, even though it doesn't feel like it, it's a battle, it's a struggle, it's a constant. You have to constantly fight with your entire perspective on life, with your entire feelings of your beingness. That what? We agree, Shagashmi is but, that the Gashmi is really but, the emesukum hu kamoshu hu kameh. And the truth is the way it is before Hashem. And therefore I should live my life in constant service of His will. The zuhu mailas kala oisik the Torah mitzvahs. And this is what Torah mitzvahs is all about, the Alter Rebbe says. What is Torah mitzvah all about? Bringing bittul to a bittulless world. The whole point of Torah mitzvah is to pick something up from its yeshus to the state that it should surrender to the ayin, to Hashem. That's what you're doing. When you're learning Torah, you're submitting your mind to Hashem's will. When you're doing the mitzvah, you're submitting your power of your hand or your organ, your limbs, or the object that you're doing the mitzvah with. And therefore the sages tell us, Gedoyim ha'maisa tzadikim ha'maisa shemayim ba'aretz, that the work of tzadikim are greater than the work of creation. Because why? Shemayim ha'shemayim ba'aretz, because what's the work of creation? What did Hashem do when He created the world? He came from the spiritual realms, from truth, and He brought about this non-truth existence, this kashmiistic existence. He created from ayin to yesh. May ayin, from what we call ayin, to yesh, to our yesh. Tzadik does, He takes the yeshus of this world, He takes the coarse beings of this world that are full of themselves, and He brings them to us, back to the ayin. He's making from yesh ayin, from something nothing, and that's a bigger miracle. Who may ayin liyesh? Shemash shemayim v'aretz, who may ayin liyesh, from nothing to something. V'hu master as ayin. And now once Hashem does that, what happens? The ayin, meaning the divine power, that's the ayin power, that's in the yesh, in the beingness, is concealed, is hidden, and we have no clue that it's there. We're clueless about it. We don't feel it, we don't sense it. And nevertheless, a being that while it is living in this God, in this seemingly godless world, is able to discover Hashem. And not only discover Hashem, but submit himself completely to Hashem and surrender to that ayin. That's a miracle beyond miracles. And the mice of tzaddikim, and the work and accomplishment of tzaddikim were involved in Torah mitzvahs, they make from something not nothingness. What do you mean? Not nothingness. It means you're taking it out of its fake something to the real something. Everything should be in the way it is in front of Hashem, as it is in front of Hashem's eyes. And what is in front of Hashem's eyes? In Hashem's eyes is that He is, and we're not. The Zeh, and this one means Gedolim, that's Maisa Tzadikim. The work of Tzadikim are greater. Why is it greater? We might say it's even. God made from non-beingness, beingness. And we take from beingness, non-beingness. So it's equal. It's the same change. We might say it's the same transformation. It's just the flip side. He's making from not, yeah, and we're making from yeah, not. It's the same distance from not to yeah, from yet to not, the same distance. However, the evidence is a greater miracle. Why is it a greater miracle? Ki yadua ma'amir ezal, it is known, this is they just say, gemira, it is taught, it is learned, it is something that is established and known. Yishmeya from heaven, me of Yahavi, they give mishkal or shakli, but they don't take. Ha'ayinu, what does that mean? Shepchin nashar v'sheth shefel akis. That the life and the flow and the godly flow, ha'nimshach ma'ayin liyesh, that flows from nothing to something, v'yashmimshach v'tchinas m'malik ha'almin, which flows in a, to become in a state of, that it draws into a malik ha'almin, to fill the world, koyach ha'payel b'nifl, the power of the Creator in the creation, the tzaydech ha'savas ha'olim is for the sake of the Creator, the bringing about the world, k'moshakas v'atta mechaya, that you bring life into existence, ha'machadish b'tu v'yichulu, that he renews the world, pirish, atta alif v'tav v'hei matzah sapeh, atta means, let me stop a second, just that we don't lose what he's saying. After that, he's saying only like this. The Gemara says, I mentioned this a few weeks ago in the class. The Gemara says that Rav Hanina ben Doisa was once poor, and he needed food, and he davened into Hashem, and they gave him a leg, a gold leg. Remember that? We spoke about it. Gave him a gold leg. So he was very happy. Then his wife had a dream, and she saw that when they were at night, and he saw in the Olam Haba, they were all sitting, all the tzaddikim were sitting by tables that had three legs, and their table only had two. So she realized that, wow, that this was the leg that they gave them. The gold leg was the gold that they gave them from there. And they realized that they were taking away from their ultimate experience for this temporary, worldly life. And they figured it's not worth it. So they wanted to return it. And they davened. The miracle happened. They took back, a hand came down and took back the leg. The gold leg. The Gemara says that the second miracle is much greater than the first miracle. In fact, they got the leg. Was not stupid. A hand comes down and they hand them down the leg. But then why? Because Gemira, we learned that from Shemayim, they give, but they don't take back. What does that mean? Hashem set up the cycle of creation. What is the Hashem activated a system. What's the system that he activated? See, Hashem really, in essence, is no difference giving or taking. But the system that he systemized, we can say, is that he created a world where energy from Hashem flows to the world and gets broken into little words, and thereby creating these end result products, which is our world, which gets created from the divine energy as it materializes into the world, flowing through the world of Mamalakalam, which he calls the practice of Ba'atam Mechaya. You give life Aleph through Tav, the divine letters of Hashem with the Hey, which is the five organs of speech, which are the source of it, is a breakdown into all the details of the creation. That's the system that God created. But the thing should go back from created to non-creation, a flow back. Hashem is not, that's not part of the divine system. He could do that, you see, the miracle did it. But that's not the order of the way it is. That's why the second nace was, Hashem did something extraordinary. See, the first nace was that, what was the first thing? The first nace was that creation stopped. At the 6 days of creation, Hashem stopped creating new things. Here, you had another act, Hashem created, as if to say, a new physical object. He didn't really create it because it was there already in heaven. It was their thing. But the fact that he materialized it into a physical substance was a new thing, which didn't take place in Sheshit and Averashis. God did not create anything new, and now there was a new thing. But after all, it still was in the same system of coming from not to yet. But to take back something, that something should have. I wonder when a person vanishes. He's not here anymore. You don't know what happened to him. Is it possible? And Hashem just said, you know what, I'll stop creating him. But we know it's not, that doesn't matter. So you know, no, it's not. You'll find him somewhere, you know, God forbid, you know, under the river somewhere or whatever. Or whatever. That's a possible, but if a person is just disappeared because Hashem stopped creating him, you know, the heck with him. I don't know how that guy. Jeez. Take back his life. Right? But it doesn't happen. Why doesn't it happen? Because man, maybe the system is to give, not to flow back. Not within the system. So therefore, tzaddikim are doing that thing. Because what are tzaddikim doing? They're taking from a state of beingness to state of not. It's only that tzaddikim are not doing it in a way that the physical object stops existing. It continues to exist, but it continues to exist in utter surrender to the ayin. And then it's like not existing in a physical state, because it becomes part of that spiritual truth, of the divine truth. So that's why tzaddikim is a greater miracle, because that's something even Hashem doesn't do. And we do it every time we do a mitzvah. Who's the tzaddikim? Tzaddikim are us. And Tuesday night we find out from another Tanya that some other title that we have. But you know, from the Torah Arshin on Monday night, we're tzaddikim. I'm a kulam tzaddikim. We're all tzaddikim. And what is it that we're tzaddikim? That what? That we do the avoid of being mevatel the world from yes to the world. So that's what we say. V'ayinu shebchinas, or a second line from the top, shebchinas, or the shefel, the kiss, the godly light, the way it is systemized, animshach ma'ayin le'yesh, which flows from not to yes, li'yot nimshach b'chinas ma'malei kolal, and that Hashem should flow to fill the world with vitality, koyach ha'poyel v'nifel, the power of the maker in the creation. The tzayrech esavus ha'olam is to bring about the making of the world. Kama shekasev, as it says, va'atam mechaya, you give life. Hamachadish betuvay, you constantly renew the world. Pidish apa, what does it mean apa? Aleph betuf, apa is aleph tuf hey, aleph through tuf. The all the letters are which these are the building blocks of creation. The aim of tzayrech esavus and the five origins of speech. Hainu, meaning shekol ikur mitzias ishtal shalus, hu mitzchinas oisias. That the whole process of Ishtalshalus comes from what? This is all from the letters. As it says, B'dvar Hashem, the words of Hashem, the worlds will create. And this is through what? The five organs of speech, Hei Gevuris, which are the five restraining powers, Menatzpach. Those five letters, by the way, are the five and the letters. We said the five organs of speech. Mem, Nun, Tzavik, Pei, Chav. Those that have a double letter are the five restraining powers which really create letters. We're not going to get into that for now. Vezeu, and this is what it means. Meiv Yahavi. Hainu, what does it mean? Meiv Yahavi. That Hashem gives, meaning He flows down. Hainu Sheiyah Nimshach Tamid Ur V'Shechalikus. That should constantly flow light and godly affluence. May I and the yesh from man to yeh. The sabbath of Olam is to bring about creation. Zed deya echad shomamay olamat. That's the way Hashem sees it, that wah, from above wah, that it's from not, from ayin should become yesh. Sheyeh nimshach tamit or v'chayis. That it should always come afloat. Zed ma'asa shomayim v'aretz. And this is what we say, this is called the work of creation of heaven and earth. Chul, ha'bukhin is tzadikim, but the level of tzadikim, gedoy lo ma'asa shomayim v'aretz, are even greater. And they transform and they change the system. They take the things that were created to be a something to go back to its somethinglessness. Through their power of tikkun. What the power of tikkun? Surrendering to something bigger than themselves. Parts of Adam. That's the man in man. That's the image of man that man has. What's Adam? Adam is Mem Hei. The power to bring bittul to the creation. B'chinas yesh agashmi, that the physical yesh, the yesh oyle, should rise, l'chinas ayin, to a state of ayin. The le'ela, as it was above. Shehu yesh amiti. It should go back to absolute beingness, to go back to the yesh amiti, to go back to his being. Zehu inyan, and this is what it means, anachru moidim lach. We surrender to you. That's why, and where do we do it the most? Where does this reach its utmost expression? By eating. Because by eating, you're taking something from a world of yeshus, you're bringing it into the human being. Hopefully the human being is a mensch, not a behemoth. If the human being is a mensch, not a behemoth, a human being lives a life of ayin. And he's a Jew ultimately should live a life of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That should characterize our life from the second we wake up to the minute that sounds familiar, right? From the moment we wake up to the minute we go to sleep at night, our whole long life should be one long life of Bittul Hashem, of serving Hashem. So everything we integrate into ourselves comes from a state of yesh to a state of ayin. Look at a human being. A human being is ayin. A human being is not yesh. A real human being. A tzaddik. And as much as we're doing mitzvahs, in those moments we're tzaddik. So at that moment we're taking from the yesh, integrating it into the ayin, into the human being. And we're doing it by eating. Because we're not eating, we're not taking the stuff. And we can be a tzaddik, but the thing out there is a yesh. So we're bringing noi there. We're constantly... We're taking an apple and being maida an achdalach. This apple was full of itself, and now it can be buckled to Hashem. It's rising to a state of not the maida an achdalach. But that's all what the first part. The first part is to lift things up to their source. But what happens once we lift them up to their source? They're misbattled, and what happens next? And when it comes back to its source, what did we learn in the Maamar before?
Oh,
there you go. The Tayu flow comes pouring in, the Godly flow from above. That's why in the end of Nagel we say, Baruch Atasha. We reach a level of Baruch. What's the difference between Noida and Baruch? Acknowledging means that what? You know this is right, but you don't feel it. Emotionally, you don't feel it. You feel your ego, you feel yourself, you feel the world. But then you say, Hashem, I'm going to do it your way, even though I don't feel. But after we elevate it, what did we learn before? What does that do? It brings such a invigoration of divinity in our lives that we become takabot. We become really bot. In an inward way. That's called baruch. Baruch means when it flows. It flows to a point that it's no more just a conviction of our mind, but it becomes our literal, our emotional experience. That we feel the emes, the emes movade, there's none but him. But that comes after the noida. The noida is the rising, the baruch is the reciprocation that Hashem enables us to really experience this for a few minutes, at least isolated moments in our lives, that we enter into the zone of true oneness with Hashem. We enter into true vital and connection to the Eibishter, where we really see it from His perspective, not from our perspective. Well, here we're only admitting to Him, but then we actually get. That's what He's saying. The Indian of the Varsh, what are we saying? What's the next word? This is a direct result of the food that we ate. Through the food which was moidin lach, when we eat like a man, it's horrible when we think about how we eat. But if we would only eat like a man, and we can only bring what? Anachnu moidim lach to our food. The next thing is mevarchim oisach. We draw you down. Who ki ahefer ben bracha la'ida? What's in the bracha la'ida? Ki ahida hagam shem moidim by hagda. Even though we admit she'emes u'kamayshu u'kamnei that the truth is as it is before Him, makom makom einoy begilui mamish. It's not really revealed. The inyan bracha. What is bracha? She'tia hamshacha begilui mamish. That Amshacha should be conspicuous, open, and revealed. Kamoishu l'mayla, as it is above. Why? How did that happen? Ki achrei alos man memaseh tzadikim, after the tzadikim rise and elevate the feminine waters upward, nimshach achakach Amshacha's mad, so that evokes and draws down Amshacha from above, Amshacha's mayin dichrin, masculine waters, meaning a revelation from above, betoisvus gili oir, ma'oris to toyu, with an added revelation of light from the lights of toyu. We draw it down so that we really become. But this is all the process of what? This is noida lecha. Over here we say noida lecha. Lecha to you. Why? Because this is man in direct relationship with God. It's not like before. Man, we can't rise to it. We can't access it. We can't trigger it. It comes as a gift. Hashem has to give it. So it's a he is giving, someone that we don't know, but it's not a direct contact. Direct contact we make dafkin noida l'cha, we can say l'cha. Our avoid of noida results in what? Umevarchem oisach, that Hashem flows down, enveloping us and in nourishing us, giving us that great energies of tayu as a result of our elevate to. We work with the kalim of tayu, with the broken shards. Hashem infuses us with those great lights of Tayu after we rectify the vessel. We deserve it. We fix the kelim. We're the repair shop. We repair it. We deserve to get a little bit of the juice, a little bit of the light. But from man is a gift totally from above. That's why it's he. Who knows lechem b'chein b'chefet? It's kindness, total kindness that he gives us. He shares with us something that is totally beyond us. Achar shenizbar kol hanal. Let's finish up quickly. After all this has been explained, after Tzarech Levar, Inyan Hashacha. Now we just left with one thing. We understand the two types of food, Lechem and Ha'oretz and Lechem and Hashemayim. And now we have to understand what Shabbos is. Shabbos goes even higher than this. What Shabbos? Because we're talking about Lechem Mishnah. Right? Shabbos, we talk about Lechem Mishnah. Double bread. What's the point? Torah Kovarina Shabbos. Yinik, if it says, Kisheshus Yomim Asa Chulu Vayoyim Ashvi Shabbos. Let me just give a little introduction. What the Altreb is going to say now is, Shabbos is similar to Mon. That's why Shabbos, Mon came when? Didn't come on Shabbos. But it says, when was Mon made in heaven? The prophet says, Hayoim lo simtu'u basada. Moshe says, Yichlu hayoim, yesterday's Mon, today you won't find it basada. So the Rebbeinu Bachai says, basada you won't find it. But in heaven, that's when it's really being produced. It doesn't come down only in the week, but in heaven, man is really of Shabbos for the food. It's made on Shabbos. It's produced on Shabbos, everything, but it doesn't come down here. Man is related to Shabbos. That's why, interesting, all the halachas of keeping Shabbos began. When did the Jews start keeping Shabbos? With the man. Right? The Rebbe explains it, because the man is really intrinsically connected to Shabbos. Really, Shabbos is higher than the man. Even higher than the man. Why? What do we say is the man? The man of that level of Akudim. We're getting very, very close to the source, to the divine source of any, of all the Esther spheres. We're getting to their very original source, where they see themselves just as a detail in Him, not as a as an entity on their own, but as a detail, as one of His power, as the wholesomeness of Hashem, is that He has to have all these things. Shabbos is also a retraction to the source. But in Shabbos, we're going a bit higher than Akudim. Why? Shabbos, we go back to the place where, remember I said before, Achdus, you can reach a point where it's not colors, but colors the way they're expressions of the bearer of the colors, but the way the man transcends any definition whatsoever. Shabbos is we go back to the unit, to the oneness of Hashem, and we proceed chesed and gevura, any distinctions of midas eruah. We're going back to the very origin. Man is where you have already the spirits, but the spirits are what? All in one care. Because they see themselves as a detail in Him. But already, you're already moving into a state of spirits. Now let's understand something. When you go into a state of spirits, what was spirits? Spirits means already Hashem is already. Is Hashem really essentially connected to spirits? Spirits are certain manifestations. Hashem could have essentially what? Projected from Himself millions of other spheres. We only know, see, our human capacity, only these 10 spheres. Why? Because we're built, we're contained within the world where Hashem projected these 10 spheres. But are these 10 spheres really, should we say like this, does Hashem have within Himself the seed of these 10 spheres and that's it? No, God is, He could have projected of Himself spheres completely different than we know. We don't, but us, we can't even imagine them. Why? Because He didn't do it. At least not in our world. Maybe He created other worlds somewhere else that are based on different spheres. But in our world, in our Seder is Shalshalus, what we call our, this is what we have. So we know this. But Hashem can be, Shabbos, we go back to the potential of potentials. Man was potential, but not potential of potential. It was the potential of the Esser spirits. Like, it's like when the spirits are beginning, or we're already dealing with spirits. Or we're talking about potential of potential, where it could have been infinite other spirits. That's why it's going even deeper than that. Why Shabbos that? Why is Shabbos connecting to that very, very deep level? The Rebbe's going to explain is because 6 days of a week. But you hear what I'm saying? I mean, we can understand the difference a little further on. Why Shabbos is even higher than Mon. And that's why, just in one word, you can explain that Mon is Oyer Ein Sof. It's the infinite light. That's why it's not, it's, Chesed is not Chesed yet. And they're not in conflict, because it's still connected to the infinite. But it's the Oyer Ein Sof as it is Shayach L'Hishtalshelus. As it is, it has already a connection to what? To worlds. You know what? I'm sorry. I started explaining something before and I didn't finish my thought. I was telling you before that spheres are what? Spheres are already an adaptation to the world. Hashem is already saying, I'm going to create worlds, that's why He brings about spheres. Now let me ask you, that first jump from Hashem not thinking of world at all, to the stage of, you know what, let's create worlds, it's the biggest jump. It's moving within himself from who he is, to what? To a relationship to others. So as high as Akudim are, it's the way these spheres are in their perfect state, in their original state. But it's already spheres, these 10 spheres.
Spheres
is the word? Spheres. Spheres, essence, not the word. It's the emotions. But it's the fact that Hashem is, even the fact that an emotion is relating to someone else. So there's already that stepping out of himself. Shabbos is deepest of the deep. Let's think the deeper than Machshava out now. Shabbos is the connecting to Atmos and Mahus, to the essence of Hashem. Because he's not at all beginning even to formulate spheres at all. Over there we can say that everything comes from him, but we can't say he's the source for anything. In the world of Akudim, what is Akudim? Akudim is the source of the spheres. We can call them as being the source, because they're already the beginning of Chesed, the beginning of the world. So in a sense we can say the world of Akudim is the beginning of the world. It's the world in its most original form, but it's already the beginning of the world. Higher than that, of course everything comes from there, from a step higher, because this is the original, this is the first cause. But over there, we can't define him as being a source of the world, because he could have created billions of different types of worlds. So we can't say in him that he is the source of this particular world. You understand? There is a level where you can call it a source. Why can you call it a source? Because it's already this, but this, and but here there's a place where you cannot say that Atmos, Hashem himself, is not the source of the world. Because if he wouldn't be the source of it, where would it come from? It must become. But not because he is already has some relationship to it. It's because from him comes everything. So this too. Not because this really has a connection to him, that you can trace already its beginnings over there. You can't trace it over there at all. It's pure, simple, pshitus, petakos of pshitus. Simplicity in the utmost of simplicity. That's where he's going to say Shabbos takes. Shabbos is the energy of the Lakus, as it is in its most purest form, as it is beyond the human being, the mind. Let's read in Shabbos. Why is that Shabbos? How does Shabbos get to that? Why love? What is the point of Shabbos? Achash is bar kol anam atat tzarech levar ima Shabbos. Kinex is kishesh es yamim as. Says in the pasuk, 6 days Hashem created. Ubayoyim ashvi Shabbos. On the seventh day he rested. By years by ubayoyim ashvi he rested on the seventh day. The Indian shesh es yamim yedua. The concept of 6 days it is known. Shem vav ktavos. These are the six sides. 6 days represent the level of Zah, which are what? Their amtin, the small face, small continents, Midos, Daxilis, the attributes of Atzilis. Shabbachol Yoyin, and every day, Nimshach HaMshach HaMiyuchedes, it was drawn a specific HaMshach HaMibchen Zah, from the level of Zah, Al Yedei Pchenas Malchus Daxilis, through the attribute of Malchus, Haimah, B'yoyin Aleph Mimidas Chesed, from the first day was from the Midas Chesed, the B'yoyin day is Mimidas HaGmura, second day from the attribute of Kuhn. But tell you the Chesav is Biyah. For the sake of creating the world's pre-Yitzir Asriya, the Baalei Gvul, that they should be what? Limited. The Or Mishtalshel, and the life progresses, the Tzimtzumim through many contractions, Me'ela Acharela, from one cause to another cause and effect, Bekelem Mekelem Shoinim, through various vessels, Atshel Yachaliyah is Baalei Gvul, until it can come about limited beings, Betachlis, that are completely defined and limited. Because the desire of the projector was of Hashem, because Hashem wanted at the time, so therefore he lowered himself down to create lower worlds. The Indian, so he's saying like this. What did he say? How does creation work? Creation worked by the midas of Atzilus, the physical creation. How did the world come into existence? The midas of Atzilus, which are the divine emotions, did what? Every day they exercise. 6 days. Why were the 6 days of creation? One of the 6 days of creation. being that Hashem formulated of himself six emotions. The intellectual faculties didn't really play a major role in creation, because it's beyond creation. The emotional faculties are what were involved in the creating of the world. The first day Hashem exercised matnida, chesed, and that's why the creations of the first day are light, chesed, the good creation. But it wasn't pure chesed. It had to come through the channel of malchus, as we explained in the other mind, because if it would be just chesed, the world would be very close to Hashem, and they would feel themselves as part of him, they wouldn't be. So it came through malchus, meaning through speech. The emotion was transmitted through speech. Speech means it made it be outside. That's what speech does. It takes the emotion and presents it outside. So the same thing over here. Hashem, through the chesed came through malchus, chesed sheva malchus, and it created the creations of the first. Second day, the nida, the emotion of gevura, was exercised through the malchus, gevura sheva malchus, and it brought about the creations of the second day. So every day, the emotions of Hashem were invested in creation. Each day a different emotion, invested. It's like when you invest yourself in something emotionally. Now, but that is a very interesting thing. When you invest yourself, what you're really doing is you're tying yourself up. You're imprisoning yourself. Like a person says, you know, I don't have the strength to get involved. What happens when you get involved? You get trapped in something. You get stuck. You're not free to do something else. Let's use, let's say, the mind. A person's mind, when you relax, is sitting back on the chair, and at the moment, right, you relax. What is the beauty of that? Why does it feel so good to relax? When you relax, your mind is free to, like, roam, to go wherever it wants. It's not stuck anymore. But when you're concentrating, what do you mean to concentrate on something? You take your power of focus, of mind, and you focus it. You focus and you put it into one particular. As you're putting it into a particular thought process. So now it's stuck. Now you're not available to think anything else. And then if human beings are going to do any constructive activity, that takes a lot of attention. So first you focus your mind. Then from your mind you have to focus. Now the mind isn't enough. You have to also get emotionally excited and involved, although you don't really do it the way you should do. And that stimulates thought, and thought stimulates speech, and speech stimulates action, and other people should get involved, until you get a project done. It wipes you out, makes you tired, no? Why do you get tired? Because you invest yourself, you push yourself into something. What does it mean to relax? You allow yourself to come back out. You take it out of that thing. Now, see, you have it. What's so appealing about vacancy? A lot of people love, want to go on vacation. You have a job, you have a thing, you constantly put yourself into there. You're not free for anything. You just want to go back and be yourself. You want to take yourself out of your many investors into the many things and just retract and come back into yourself. It says that Hashem rested on Shabbos. Hashem didn't need any rest. What does it mean he relaxed on Shabbos? Relaxing means that during the week Hashem projected into the emotion. His chesed, the chayus of Elokus, the godly chayus that was once free and not restricted in a creation, came down and was contained in these specific creations that Hashem created. Shabbos, Hashem brings the energy back. It goes back. It goes back. So it goes back to its infinite potential, into a relaxed state. Now, if it goes back, why doesn't the world cease to exist? Because the relaxation is only taking place in the most inner dimension of the chayus. The inner dimension of the chayus is relaxing and coming back with the world together with it. It's rising back up into himself. It's like Hashem sits down and says, allowing it all to come back into him. Instead of him projecting it outward, it all retracts back into him. Now, where is it retracted to?
I don't know.
If it goes back, where does it retract?
Back
to
the
soul.
Where
to? Father, and it goes all the way back to where? To its first state, before, to its source. And what's the source of sources?
And
the essence of Hashem himself. And Hashem was before he started to create. Shabbos, he allows it all to come right back in. So where does the world potentially really rise into in Shabbos? All the way into Atzmus himself, into that complete That's what I was mentioning before, that Shabbos we get to that even higher than the Esser Spirits. So the Esser Spirits is already what's investing in specific modes. This emotion, that emotion, that particular thing. If everything is going back, the emotions are also going back. And they're going even deeper than they're going back farther than the world of Akudin. Because Akudin already is the beginning of it. They're going back all the way into the essence of Him. That's what I was saying before, that Shabbos is connecting to the very essence of Hashem. Shem allows it. Let's read inside. The Indian move on, and I give to be understood. A derech marshal, now Adam from a person. The Rebbe gives the marshal a person that wants to write something, a very deep concept. On a, he wants to write down they ask you, for example, they ask the person to write, to do a page, to write something, an article for something, and it's a deep concept. So what does he? What does he have to do? He may oyer askala, the light of the concept. Tzarech leidit, if you can't just give it off the way it is, if it's concentrated, that it should be able to be written in a way that people should be able to understand. It takes a tremendous amount of focus. Many people have the ability of what? They're very deep ideas, but they can't formulate it into words, into concrete words, and put them down on the paper. And it's tzarech leidit of this thousand. You have to draw it down and let it progress. That if tzimtzumim rabin, derech chochma bina, it has to come down. From what? From Chachma to Bina, Chachma to Bina Lamida, he's going to have to go to the emotions. At Koyach HaSiyah, until it reaches the power of doing Shabayat, until it will activate the hand. HaMugbeles, that is limited, Ba'osiyah Saksav, in those letters. And one of that, even your hand is not free. Why? Because your hand, when your hand is relaxed, it can do many things. Now when it's writing only these particular words. It's focusing its power of movement into one particular type of movement. What do we see? After a person relaxes from his work, all the lights, and all the powers, drawing in their progression, that through cause and effect. The Yeshvahem Aliyah, now they all ascend, they all go back to be absorbed in the power of the intellect and in the essence of the soul. Because they all go back, they relax, that's why it feels so good. Because you liberate all your powers. You allow them the freedom to roam instead of being stuck. And so too, 6 days is the progress of the Shtalsalus, that is a Levi Olo. Through Hashem comes down to vest himself. The Ribbon of Abbas Madregis with tens and thousands. But let's understand. By Hashem, it's much, 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 much more. Because Hashem is contracting himself infinitely more than we contract ourselves. We contract only how bright are we already, and how far already is that contraction that we have to do? After all, we're still human, and the paper is all physical. From a one higher physical dimension to a lower physical dimension. Hashem is coming from his infinite self into physical stone to create these narrow creations. It's mind-boggling, the squeezing that he's squeezing himself into in the act of creation. Ad oilam ha-shafal ha-gashmi, all the way till Hashem creates our physical world as that. Shua yoyser tachtim the madrega, which is the lowest. Now why does he do it? Why does he self-constrain himself? Because he wants to. Akasha pa-maisa. Hashem wanted to, he did it. Ubayoy ma-shri yiksiv, however, on the seventh day, zayishva yishvoy, he rests. The oirois rise, retract, and they reabsorb in the general power. Kisham, and over there, Milo Matasha. Over there, everything is equal. Everything goes back to that state of three worlds where there's no upper worlds, lower worlds. All goes back. Shukayach Klali, over there, it's a general power. Pashat Betachas Apshifas. Over there, it's the utmost of simplicity. And more than that, over there, the power of action and the power of mind is both the same. Because they're in the original source of source, where there's no hierarchy of lower and higher. This whole world of hierarchy, of lower and higher, is only one flat. He projects outward. But in their original source, the potential for, let's talk about it, the potential for doing, for Atzilus and Asiyah are equal. We are in that source. And this is called Makit. We call Tav B'Shav. This is real Makit. Adairis. Over there it says that Hashem looks and sees to the end of all generations. In one look, in one scan, he sees everything. Because over there, everything is one nekuda, one point. He accomplishes all details of Ishtalshus, the Nechlalim by the Tachlis, and they're all absorbed in him utterly, completely. Petachlis Ishtalshus, and the completion of Ishtalshus. Well, that Ishtalshus, by way of analogy, it's like a person who senses himself, all the details of his limbs, saying is, sometimes we get into biological, experiments, when we come to experiment, you know, you want to experiment with your finger, you want to feel this part, you want to examine every aspect of your body. But then, that means you're going down, you're lowering yourself down to each specific detail to get to know everything in its own discrete way. But then there is what? A person senses himself. You sense yourself as a human being. When you sense yourself, in that one sensation, you sense your entire being, from your head to your toe. Checking it out, right? At that moment, it's why? Because you're completely within yourself, and when you're in yourself, the source of everything, being this is the source of the entire being, over there everything is one nekuda. It's the I. The nekuda of I am. Same thing. As everything retracts into Hashem, it's just an I. And there Hashem knows all the details of existence, and He knows Himself, because they're all stemming from His essence. From his being. Shabbos, we return back to that state. There's that in your Shabbos. Kivoy Shabbos, Hashem returns. Hu aliyah sa'olamayis, the worlds rise, b'tchinas pnimiyas. They go back to their inner source. The nechlalim, and they're reabsorbed, b'koyach haklali, in that original power, ha'pashat b'tachlis eskalos. That is simple in the utmost of eskalos. So then it seems like Shabbos and Mon is the same thing. Because they're both going back to where? To that pre-differentiation state. However, he's going to explain what I said before. Shabbos is much deeper than Mon. Because Shabbos is what? Going back to beyond definitions whatsoever. Mon is if you're in a world of definitions, but as the definitions are beginning to stem, are starting to come out where they're not, where they see themselves as an expression of the infinite. But they're still an expression. It's still a certain expressing of God, not His essence. His essence is where Hashem is beyond any expression that Shabbos. The ikra hafesh ben Shabbos l'mon is ki b'mon ha'ishkalus. Mon is a revelation also from this very exalted, lofty level, but hu mebchinas makar ha'shayach l'ishtalus. It's already a makar, the source that is already shayach, that has some relationship to the world. K'moy b'chinas akudim. The mon is like the level of akudim. Sha'akud b'keli yachad. We can speak about 10 spheres already, but the 10 are only one akuda. It's the potential for me to be so and so and so. But it's already these particular potentials. Sha'yesh b'y mekol prati yishtasos. It has everything absorbed in it. This level of akudim has all, everything that's going to come later is already there. It's the source. But we can say this is a source for that. It has already an end. Hakol b'chinas eskalus. And the way they are all included in Him, all the details of the Ishtalshus, it's because He is the source, Hashayach l'Ishtalshus, that has already some connection. And He is already also, has some value of Ishtalshus. He's the beginning. It's similar to the general that is connected to the pratim, to the details. Ash nechlalim by that are included in it. What he's saying is like this. There's a concept called klalu prat. A general and a detail. For example, if I have an idea. I'm going to talk about the idea of Toyu and Tikkun. There's a general idea we can speak of. Toyu is a world that preceded this world, a world of chaos. Tikkun is a world of rectification and disharmony. In that statement that I just said is what? Contains the whole description of what Tayu and Tikkun is. But there's millions of details. Okay? There's millions of details. What are the details? All the details of Tayu and Tikkun is all included in what? In that blanket statement. But that blanket statement, the little description that we just gave about Tayu and Tikkun, why does it include all the, whatever we'll say afterwards is all details of that point. And they're all there in that statement. They're all there in that sentence. But why are they there in that sentence? Because they're details of the... Now let me ask you something else. How about, before I said the statement, now a description of Teyuanti, before I even walked into this room to learn tonight, and my mind, it was just a simple mind, was in my mind included all the details of Teyuanti? I mean, as much as, of course, in my mind doesn't include the details of Teyuanti at all, I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I mean to say, of as much as we spoke about by this year, was it there? Yeah, it was there. Because if it wasn't in the mind before, how can it be in the shir?
In
the shir. Yeah, my mind, isn't it? Oh, yes. But it's different than the way it's there in the sense. Why? Because in the sense, we're already talking about Toyu and Tikkun. This is the general theme this is a general statement about Toyu and Tikkun, which includes all the details. We can call that statement a source for everything that's going to be said later. We can call it a source because this is a general, it's like a teacher comes in and makes a general introduction. And then later they get into the details. Sometimes a good teacher will come and say a one line sentence or make one sentence on the top, and this is what we're doing. And they talk about it for weeks. We're discussing this stuff. But first there is one, in that subject, in that statement lies all the details. But the details are already there as paratim, details of a klalim again. But then there is the teacher before they even made any statement. Are the details there? Of course. But is it because she or he is now the source for these things? He's not the source. She can be giving classes in hundreds of other things. This is the subject today. So it's there, but we can't say it's there because she is a source, because she's a source for it. She's not a source for it. The source for it is already once she says the open statement. That's the source for the class. Then we can be speaking about source. That's what the Rebbe is trying to say. The difference between the world of Akudim and the world that is even higher than Akudim. The world of Akudim, everything is included. But everything is included because it is a source for them. We can already see Esser Spirit. Esser Spirit in one Kalim. Fine. It's all a general point. That's what he's saying. Over there, it's all the pratim of it. Avo b'china Shabbos, but Shabbos is deeper. Who Aliyah says, Shtalshus, but b'chinas makif akloli. Shabbos is a time when everything rises to a general makif. That why? The b'chinas atzmos ain't choice, to the very essence of ain't choice. Ashalay shayich b'loimar, over there we can't even say, shumakar v'klal, ashayich v'stalshus. You can't even call it a general which contains specifics, because it's beyond specifics. It's even higher than that. The tzatru pshinas insight, because he's insight, you can't call him yet a source for worlds, because he could have created millions of other types of worlds. The yachal liyos ribui devavus ishtalshul is by fanam achelim. There could have been tens of hundreds, myriads and myriads of other progression of worlds in different ways. So you can't see him as a source for this particular. You can't trace these colors of our creation in him. And therefore, but why? It's only the only thing we can say about it is what? That after all, our world must come from him, because where else can it come from if not from him? When he reveals himself, it's also in this way. When this thing is revealed, it reveals itself in utter simplicity. Absolutely no colors whatsoever. Not even the beginning of colors. Pure with utmost simplicity. Let's get this little parenthesis here. Umetam zeh lo yarad amon b'shabbos. And for this reason, the man did not fall on Shabbos. Why? Why didn't man fall on Shabbos? Because Shabbos is beyond man. Shabbos is a level of godliness that's much higher. Man is already an adaptation to creation. Shabbos Hashem is relaxing in himself. And the worlds are higher on Shabbos. Higher than man. Because all worlds rise to a place within Hashem, to their very initial source of sources. Man already is what? Where, as we said before, you can taste all the tastes. Shabbos is beyond any taste. It's higher than all tastes. It's the tasteless source that precedes all taste.
Yeah, that's
connected to that. What? Connected to that. It's higher than that. Shabbos we get a boost and a connection to that level. Because is already the beginning of ishtalshlus. We can already speak that it's all in today in one kid. Because that's some erech to the ishtalshlus. The whole b'chinas ishtalshlus is the erech prop l'gabah klal. And ishtalshlus are only the specifics that are coming out from their source. Kniskalel has mentioned above. But Shabbos Daliyah is to the very, very original Makis. Ashashom, Milo, Makis, Shavin. Over there, everything is equal. Umakalha, Makis, Hakulba, Shla, Achas. And he encompasses everything put together. Lakacha, Man, Shu, Pchenis, Akudim. Therefore, the Man, which is the level of Akudim, why? Lo, Yareb, Shabbos. It's not the same on Shabbos. Ma'achash, Pchenis, Akudim, Hainam, Erech, Estalshulus, Kanah. Because Akudim is already from Estalshulus. And this is from a level way beyond Estalshulus. Shabbos goes even deeper. Achar kol zeh is the punchline, and after all of this, move on in yinshtei alechem shev shabbos. Now we understand the two breads of shabbos. Shal pinig letzarech laniach zu al gav zu. Shal pinig we have to put one on top of the other, but al pinistar we don't. Why? Let me say like this: the difference between nigla and nistar is that nigla represents. What is Nigla? The Torah as Hashem revealed it to us. Therefore it represents what we call Oyer Yashan, a projecting light, a light as it's coming forth from Hashem to illuminate the worlds. That is sort of already a light leaving Hashem to go and illuminate, to go shine. So it's connected to this world of Akudim. It's already starting to project. And once it's projecting, Hashem is projecting in the Esher spheres, the Esher spheres are combined with each other, fine. But it's all from the world of Akudim already, even though it still transcends, it transcends what? The differences of things, because everything is one Kali over there. But still it leaves room for higher and lower, because it's the source of Ishtalshlus. And the source of Ishtalshlus, what is going to be realized in the end? How is it going to manifest itself in the end? There are going to be higher worlds and lower worlds, higher creations, lower creations. Higher beings and lower beings. Yeah, they're going to be both. And being that there's going to be both, that's like the Lechem Mishnah that we take. There is one on top of the other. There is a higher and there's a lower. The lower bread shows on a lower level, the higher and lower, there's a higher and a lower. In Atzmus himself, in the very, very essence of Hashem himself, there's no distinction. Because that's not yet a source, as I said before. Even though everything comes from there, but as everything finds itself over there, it's in a complete, simple state. There is no color whatsoever. Over there, a stone with the highest levels of Atzilus.
Chabad holding house differently than other
places? We were learning in the beginning of the Maimon that Apinister, the challah has to be one on top, api nigla, one has to be on top of the other. Api nigla, api nista, the hidden, both have to be even. Why? Because nista, because he's saying that this nigla is connected to the light of Hashem as it is projecting outward. And over there, it's already the beginning, as he said, makar ashayach l'ishtalshlus. It has already some connection to some. What's going to be in ishtalshlus? There's a higher and a lower. The lower, the one challah shows on malchus, the other challah shows on zah. Zah is higher than Malchus. The six emotions of Ze'eramp and of Atzilus are higher than Malchus. So one goes on top of the other. But when Zah and Malchus are in their source beyond Akudim, in Atzmus itself, over there you can't even speak about this or that. Over there it's one potential, it's not even a potential. Over there you can't even say it's potential. It's not even a potential. It's beyond potential. It's because God is God, therefore everything will come from Him. In that place, everything here is equality, because if there would be differences, that means Hashem would be made of many things. There is no many in Him. He is complete, simple, everything is one. Nisar relates to the light of Hashem as it goes back to its source. Nigla is, why? Because Nisar is, we look at the Torah that Hashem revealed to us, and we explore. What is Nisar? We're swimming deeper into what He has given. So we're going, it's that way, it's not this way. Nigla is Hashem revealing to us. Nistar is what? It's like the Shabbos. It's going up. When you go up, where do you go up to? You're going up to its original source. And in its original absence, it feels like Shabbos. There is no. So Shabbos, which is really the leaven, Nigla can't hear. That's the point. You've got to say, in Nigla, it can't express the essence of Shabbos. The essence of Shabbos is that both challahs have to be eaten. That's the essence of Shabbos. Nigla can't capture that. Because Nigla, the whole Indian of Nigla is,